Welcome to the Fertility Stories podcast. This is your host, Mary Sauden, naturopath and fertility coach. I help women go from frustrated, overwhelmed, and isolated to calm, confident, and in control of their fertility. I'm passionate about helping women get pregnant and stay pregnant. Each week, I have a real and empowering conversation with everyday women and men struggling with fertility to bring you hope, comfort, and support. This is our story. Welcome to the Fertility Stories podcast. My guest today is Dr. Laura Von Hagen. Laura completed a Bachelor of Science honors degree with specialization in kinesiology at Queen's University, a Master's of Science in Clinical Anatomy at Western University, and then she graduated with a Doctor of Naturopathy from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. And upon graduating, she was also honored to receive the Humanitarian Award, which is given to the graduating student who has best exemplified dedication to the betterment and service of humanity. Laura is a practicing naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada, and a current board member for Conceivable Dreams, the OHIP for IVF Coalition. Welcome to the podcast, Laura.
Mary, thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. I've been wanting to have you on the podcast for the longest time. So
well, great to connect with colleagues again.
Yeah, for sure.
Like so long ago.
I know, it's been ages. But let's start with, tell us about your fertility journey.
Mm-hmm. Really, I would say it started when I was 25. That's when I was diagnosed with PCOS. And I had always had very irregular periods. And in high school, my doctor just put me on birth control, as a lot of them do. And
right.
It was great. My cycle regulated. I thought everything was fine. And then I was at the point in my life, thought, maybe I should try coming off of this. And no surprise, I came off and, you know, I noticed some hair growth. I still wasn't getting my period. I was having a lot of like blood sugar issues and sugar cravings. And finally, about 9 months after coming off birth control is when I finally was able to get a pelvic ultrasound, some blood work, which confirmed the diagnosis of PCOS and gave me, you know, at one point it was a bit frustrating. At the same time, it was relieving to finally know, okay, well, this explains that it's not something I'm doing wrong. It's just this is the way my body is working right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, yes, and then after the diagnosis of PCOS and handling all those symptoms, what did you do?
Yeah, so I took it and ran with it and definitely made some changes, but really didn't get too much into it until I was 30. And at this point, my longtime boyfriend and I, we got him married. We were ready to start a family. And it was a bit nice having a diagnosis because I knew I would need some help. And so I came off birth control and, you know, once again, my period did not come. And I started working right away with a fertility clinic. And we were doing rounds of letrozole. And letrozole is commonly prescribed for PCOS because it can help induce ovulation. In some cases, though, it just doesn't always work. And I had seen this with patients. I just didn't think I was going to be one of those patients as well. And I did everything naturopathically, everything with the fertility clinic, upping the dose here or there. But for me, just with my PCOS and being so treatment resistant, it unfortunately didn't work after 5 rounds of letrozole. It still wasn't really clear if I was ovulating, and the clinic kind of sat me down and said, look, like we've run out of options. We can only up the dose so much. Really, your next step is IVF. And we said, okay, that's what we have to do. That's what we'll do. But I wanted to take a break for a few months. I was really tired and bruised from all the appointments, the ultrasounds, the blood work, you know, trying to run around between the fertility clinic and seeing patients. It was like 2 full-time jobs if anyone gone through fertility treatments. And yes. So this would have been end of January of 2020. And we said, let's take a break, having no idea that COVID was going to hit. Mm-hmm. And when we got set to do IVF in the spring of 2020, I was in line to pick up my fertility medications. And the nurse pulled me out of the line at the fertility clinic and said, I'm sorry, we're canceling all new cycles. Go home and we'll contact you when we're ready to start again.
Oh my gosh. How did you feel at that time?
It was honestly surreal, and anger and frustration, because it's like I couldn't even go home and try naturally. Like we couldn't do that. It wasn't if I'm not going to ovulate. And it was just so upsetting. And honestly, what made it easier is then I started having an influx of patients who had also had their cycle canceled, because it was such a dark, tough time for me, just in this limbo period. And when I saw all these other patients who were in the same position going, oh, my cycle's canceled, what can I do in the meantime to get healthy? It made me feel less alone. Mm-hmm. And it also motivated me then to say, okay, you know what? Like, as much as we were prepping for IVF, now I can really step back and go, this is going to be at least a few months till we get started again. I really need to focus on my health, prioritize my self-care. And so then when we finally had our egg retrieval, funny enough, on Canada Day, I felt like I had put, you know, my best foot forward. I'd really taken those months to really focus on myself. And then we were really lucky to conceive on our first transfer, and I'm now due in a week and a half.
That's awesome.
Really, congratulations. At this point.
That's amazing. How did you prep for IVF?
Yeah. And so at that point, it was really, I mean, I've been doing some prep, but then again, a blessing in disguise with COVID, I was like, okay, I really need to get things under control. And for me with PCOS, part of it was my blood sugar. And I had always had high fasting blood sugar, which, you know, my doctor had never really concerned about, but I found quite strange. And so I looked at, okay, what can I do to get my blood sugar under control? So just being very conscious of my food choices and trying to really pick low glycemic foods, focusing on exercise, like putting that into my schedule every day, even if it was just a walk, saying I'm going to do something today to move my body and get up and get around. And then lots of acupuncture, which I really like, especially as I was getting closer to my IVF date, like really just to help with the follicle growth and help get those nice mature follicles. And then some supplementations as well for egg quality, so that I knew that, okay, my vitamin D is adequate. I'm taking things that are going to support good quality. And my partner as well, he was really good about things. So it was a very holistic approach of everything I can do on my end from a lifestyle perspective, while with the fertility clinic and what they could offer me.
That's great. How did you take care of yourself at this time? You know, it can be very stressful.
Yeah, it was really hard. And for me, it was tough because I treat so much fertility, and I had patients going through cycles at the same time. And it was funny because I'd be telling them like, oh, like you should, I try and encourage patients to take a little bit of time off work. And here I was not taking time off work.
Oh no.
Patients. And so I then was like, you know what, like I need to practice what I preach. And it's like, what do I tell patients? Like I tell them, okay, I need to prioritize sleep. So I have to make sure that I'm getting to bed and waking up. And I did take a couple of days off around my retrieval because I did end up having what's called ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome. And I was in incredible discomfort. And I was like, I have to be at home, lying down, drinking my water, and not going in and taking care of people. So definitely prioritizing, like being a little bit more selfish around myself and my boundaries, and then making sure I made time for exercise. And I did do some as well, more fertility mindfulness meditation practices. Like there's lots of great fertility apps out there. And I found that with the acupuncture, a great way to kind of bring my nerves down, because I mean, IVF is one thing, also doing IVF in a pandemic where you're terrible getting COVID and having your retrieval canceled. It was just stressor on stressor, and I needed outlets to kind of get those worst case scenarios out of my head.
Yes, that's for sure. And those are great, great self-care modalities that you did. How many embryos did you end up freezing?
Well, we were really lucky. And with PCOS, with part of it too, for me especially, part of my diagnosis was a abnormally high AMH and antral follicle for my age. And we ended up with six, which was a really great number, six after genetic testing. And we got, as I said, really lucky on that first transfer that it just worked for us and things came out of it. And so hopefully we don't have to do IVF again. And that's the nice thing with PCOS is you often have lots of eggs. So you know, with a lot of my patients, it is often a few rounds of IVF, which can be so stressful and heartbreaking. That's often not really something the clinics tell patients ahead of time, and they're not aware to watch out for several cycles. And it's just good to have an idea of short and long term. Okay, what are you thinking about, and where are you going with this?
Right. Did you do a fresh or a frozen transfer?
We did frozen because we decided to do the genetic testing, and
Oh,
so
okay.
we did have to wait. And also because my OHSS was
Oh, right,
so
yes.
bad, I can't imagine doing a fresh transfer. If anyone looks up what that is, OHSS, it's just I hyperstimulated, which is very common with PCOS. So my clinic was monitoring me closely. I had like just the I looked like I swallowed a basketball. I was the most intense bloating and abdominal pressure and swelling
Wow.
and discomfort that finally went down about a week after my retrieval. But it was not fun, and it's not fun because you look so pregnant and you're not pregnant. You're trying to hide it under your clothes, right? And ask you. And yeah, definitely that was the hardest part was the egg retrieval of anything I had done.
Yeah, that's for sure. How did you cope with the OHSS? I mean, naturopathically.
So there is some evidence that acupuncture can help with that. And so I was doing some acupuncture, trying to just do like a little bit of, I wouldn't even call it exercise, but just light walking and movement. And then it was really just about, funny enough, a high salt diet to help soak up some of that fluid and electrolyte replacement. And then listening to my body and just resting and not pushing it too hard. Absolutely no alcohol or caffeine. And so I think for me, having that time off, because pardon me, I did take that time off work, I think that helped too, where then I could just be resting at home and not feeling like I was trying to do a million things, when I'm just not in a good headspace physically and mentally at that point.
Right, exactly. How did your fertility journey change you?
I think it gave me a really good appreciation of what patients go through. In the sense that I was always very sympathetic to patients talking about how stressful it is, and I could see it in their faces, and I always really felt for my patients, and now I could really truly empathize, like the morning after morning of blood draws, and even me, like I do injection therapy at work, and I remember shaking doing my first gonal F injection and like, having a breakdown in the car one day because I was crying and felt like I didn't know how to mix my medications. And I'm thinking, if I can't do this, like how do other people do it? And so it really gave me appreciation for what my patients go through and how much time, mental, physical energy goes into it. And I feel like now I can connect better when they're talking about their emotions. And it's like, yeah, I've been there in those early mornings and those late nights doing injections and stress and the waiting. And so for me, that was one thing that I've taken out of this is just feeling a little bit more of an understanding. Everyone's journey is different, but certainly feeling a bit more of an understanding of what they're going through, and then telling patients a bit of what to expect, when I'm like, yeah, that medication burns, they're like, oh, no one told me that. Yes. So
from experience.
And coming from experience. And then they like, you're right, that one did burn. Thanks for letting me know. So just those little tips and tricks I can give patients, I find most people find it very helpful. And it's nothing against the fertility clinics. It's just they're busy and sometimes they forget to mention these little things.
How did you survive the dreaded 2-week wait?
Oh, this was really tough. And especially for me with COVID, my partner couldn't come to my embryo transfer.
Oh my goodness.
They weren't allowing partners in. So it was just me, my fertility doctor, and the nurse, who was lovely. Trying to be supportive. And then you're just kind of sitting around feeling for every symptom and sign. Mm-hmm. And it was hard because I felt like if it didn't work, then it would be quite a bit on me. And I think what I really went back to was like a meditation and a mindfulness practice, and just not letting whether or not it was successful like define who I am as a woman, and knowing that we were lucky. Okay, well, we can always try again, right? And and keep eating nutritious food and more traditional Chinese medicine perspective, as you know, Mary. Warm foods, warm socks, warming teas, like just doing everything in my power to be healthy, and knowing that at the end of the day this does not define me, and I just have to try my best.
Yeah, I love that mindset of yours, that you're not a failure if things don't go the way that you want. How did it affect your relationship with your husband? I mean, going through infertility.
I think for us, it was a little bit easier because I had my previous diagnosis. We knew we were going to have trouble. And in that sense, it was helpful that like when we started trying, I was in at the fertility clinic right away. So we didn't have that year of trying at home and not getting any answers. I'm lucky that we have a very good relationship. And so certainly it was stressful at times going through it together. I think in one way it brought us a little bit closer because he saw, like, you know, me doing my drugs at night and how swollen I was. And then the progesterone and oil injections, if anyone's ever done those, he would be injecting me with these giant needles in the morning, and I'm sitting there cringing, and he's just like, there's nothing he can do but try and like massage my butt and make it better. So I do feel like it was a good opportunity for us to connect and work as a partnership. That's not to say though that we didn't have moments of extreme stress going through it together. And I do feel for people with partners, or they're doing it on their own, trying to just keep the lines of communication open. I feel like that was what really helped us, was just being honest about our feelings.
That's great. At least it didn't break you guys. It brought you closer together.
Yeah, nothing like progesterone and oil injections.
Yeah, for every sure.
Morning at 7 a.m.
I remember those days.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Those were the worst of any of the drugs I took. Honestly,
I agree. I agree for sure. Now that you're pregnant, what are the top things that you do consistently for your health?
Yes, and this is something I'm super passionate about. My master's thesis was in pregnancy and gestational outcomes. And it's funny because I couldn't do too much in my first trimester. I had really, really horrible morning sickness. So I would say that was a bit of a write-off. And once I started to feel better, I really just focused on, again, that consistency and prioritizing myself. And for me, that means every day I try to do some form of movement, whether it's a prenatal workout or a long walk, planning our meals, so meal prepping, so that I'm getting my vegetables, my essential oils, essential fatty acids, making sure I take high quality supplements and put them out so I remember, for instance, to take my prenatal and my probiotics every day. And then, yeah, just doing everything I can to stay in good physical shape. And that's been a lot of working with doing prenatal massage, seeing a chiropractor to help with some pelvic alignment, now doing some acupuncture for labor prep. So I think for me, it was about really owning on my own health and making myself accountable to, okay, every day I'm going to wake up and work out, even if I'm so exhausted from this pregnancy. And then also surrounding myself with a good care team, because there's things that I just can't do as a naturopath. And I know where I needed that physical support to keep my body feeling well.
That's great. It's great that you're taking care of yourself so much. And as everyone knows, so Dr. Laura is actually, she has a focus in infertility and women's health. So in the second part of this interview, I just want to pick your brain a little bit on how can naturopathic medicine help women with infertility?
I think there's a huge part to be played here. And I would say the majority of, I do see patients for just general preconception care. The majority of the time when patients walk in my door, they've already been trying for a long time, or they've been referred to a fertility clinic. And really what I'm doing is, it's not replacing their IVF, it's making their IVF the best possible chance. Fertility treatments are incredibly expensive, incredibly stressful. And we know now as naturopathic doctors that women and men both who drink less, smoke less, move their bodies more, have better IVF outcomes, right? And fertility clinics have enough going on. Their job is to not screw up your medications or your cycle. My job is to make your next cycle the best one yet by looking at how are you sleeping? How are you managing your stress? Are you eating fruits and vegetables? Are you taking the right supplements for egg quality? Has anyone looked at your vitamin D? Like, are you super vitamin D deficient, which is something that we want to be aware of? For PCOS, are you managing your blood sugar? You feel confident starting exercise if you've never exercised before, and how are you going to add that in your life? And so really filling in all these other aspects of health that we know are so important for egg and sperm quality, and really focusing on that aspect while letting then the fertility clinic do their job and put together an excellent treatment plan that's going to get the best possible embryos in their lab that they can do.
That's perfect. How open are fertility clinics with working with naturopaths? Are they pretty open or are they not?
I would say these days very open, maybe different 10 years ago. I work very well with a lot of fertility clinics. They know who I am. They know when I'm working with their patient, and they also know that I'm providing very evidence-based care, especially with my background, with my master's in research. If I'm putting a patient on something, it needs to be something I can back up with a good quality RCT, which is a study to say, yes, you have PCOS. There's strong research to say inositol can help with ovulation rates, and it's safe to take while your patient is on letrozole. And I'm going to talk to your patient about following a Mediterranean diet because that's been shown to improve IVF outcomes. And her and her partner are going to be following those dietary guidelines while they're undergoing your treatment. And so I would say most are very open, especially acupuncture. A lot of them recommend it to their patients and know it can be really beneficial from a blood flow and relaxation perspective. So really, I pride myself on trying to have strong relationships. And I think it's because I take that evidence-based integrative approach where we're really, at the end of the day, we just want these patients to bring home a healthy baby.
Yes.
We all have the same goal in mind. And so why can't we work together?
Exactly. What infertility conditions do you commonly see in your practice?
So I do see a lot of PCOS. That is something that a lot of patients reach out to me for. And part of what I was, you know, for me, I'm actually almost done my book on it as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, because it's something I see so commonly and I'm so passionate about. So definitely a lot of PCOS. And then a lot of other hormonal conditions, endometriosis, fibroids, maybe diminished ovarian reserve, male factor infertility or sperm quality issues. I see lots of patients too who have been diagnosed with POI or primary ovarian insufficiency. And then I would say as a naturopath, I probably get more unexplained infertility because people are looking for more of an explanation. And I find a lot of those times it's a not yet diagnosed, not an unexplained. Mm-hmm. And we're really diving deep down the rabbit hole of figuring out what's going on and then working with our fertility clinic to kind of get them to a diagnosis in a place where the treatment will be appropriate.
What are your go-to naturopathic modalities with your patients?
Definitely a lot of acupuncture. As mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's one of my favorites. And part of it is because I think there's a lot of benefits to it from a blood flow perspective, helping with hormones. I think another big thing is just a relaxation and self-care perspective where people get that time to themselves. And it also lets me, if patients come in weekly, lets me check in with them weekly. So there's that accountability piece if we're making some changes to their diet and lifestyle, then if they're struggling and going, you know, I'm really struggling with breakfast. I feel like I have nothing to eat. We can kind of talk it out and that keeps patients motivated. So for certainly a lot of acupuncture and nutrition, I would say is a big component. And I'm not a fan of super strict diets. I'm more a fan of how can we add more abundance and whole foods into your diet? So let's start with what we're adding versus what we're taking away. And then using that in combination with either supplements to support egg quality. So that could be things like vitamin D or CoQ10, some more nutraceuticals, or certain herbs. Keeping in mind if patients are on medication, then we do have to be a little bit more careful about herb-drug interactions. And that's something that I'm always cognizant of as well.
That's great. What's your message to women struggling with infertility?
I think the biggest thing I always find is you're not alone. Yes. And it's funny because I find this with myself. Like I felt so lonely when our IVF cycle was canceled because of COVID. I felt like I was the only person that had happened to. And yet, like when you go in a waiting room for a fertility clinic, like it's full.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. Clearly I'm not alone because no. This place is like jammed to the nines with people. And so knowing that there's someone else out there struggling and you are not alone in this. And it's not, you know, again, don't let it define you. It's part of your life. It's not your whole life. And I would say, reach out and get help, right? You don't have to go through this alone. Speak to a fertility counselor. I refer patients, I would say not a modality, but I do a lot of referrals out to fertility counselors. Talk to someone, work with a naturopath because there's so much we can do to support you outside of the fertility clinic. Make sure that you're really advocating for yourself as well and getting that diagnosis so that you can get treatment started sooner rather than later. And I think at the end of the day, it's really knowing that you've done everything you can and there's so much unpredictability. So please don't blame yourself if it doesn't work. Like I said, I did everything with letrozole and it just didn't work for me. And I had to move on from that. And so know that you're doing the best you can. And there's always going to be things within infertility that are outside of your control. And you just need to focus on what you can do for yourself and protecting your own emotions, really.
That's right. How can people reach you?
So I'm usually pretty active on social media, maybe not over the next few months.
Right.
Well, we'll see how it goes. But I'm pretty easy to find. My Instagram is at Dr. Von Haken. And then my website is just my name, lauravonhaken.com. And those are kind of the two big places that I hang out. As I said, my book called My PCOS Pregnancy will be coming out at some point this summer as well. But definitely.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I know. We're almost there. We're just, it's always those last minute editing things that now we're down to the nitpicky, but I want it to be right. But yes, certainly connecting on social media or my website is the best way. And if you listen to this, you know, drop me a line, send me an email, send me a message. I'd love to hear from people. And I love hearing people who have heard my story and felt empowered or felt connected over it. I just don't want people to ever, ever feel alone during this process.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Laura, for being on the podcast with us. And congratulations on the baby and the book.
Thank you so much, Mary. It was a pleasure. I really appreciate you reaching out and having me on. And I totally respect and love all the work that you do as well. And it's great to see we have such a good community of naturopathic doctors working hard for our patients.
How awesome was that? If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe, and I would love to receive a review from you. And let's keep this conversation going. What is your fertility journey like? How are you choosing to be compassionate with yourself? Subscribe to the Fertility Stories podcast. I've got a new episode coming your way next week. And until then, talk soon.